From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fifth day of June 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from TGM will be here, located at the elevator in Windsor, Illinois. We'll talk with him about the cash grain market and then discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll take a look at agricultural news for the afternoon and some break-even prices on highly productive soils in Illinois for corn last year and this year. That with Gary Schnipke as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago at the CME Group on this Thursday afternoon. Futures like this to July soft red winter wheat at $6.05¾, down 8¾ for the day. December there at $6.37, 9½ cents lower. The hard red winter wheat managed to hang on just a half cent higher at $7.14 in the July. July corn down 7¼, finished at $4.49. September at $4.44 and a quarter down 8. December corn at $4.47¼, 6¼ lower. The March at $4.56¾, down 6½ cents. And July of next year at $4.69¾, down 5¾. July soybeans to date, $14.60½, down, that's 22 lower. August at $14.25, down 16½. And November beans at $12.10½, 6¾ lower. January futures at $12.17, down 6¼. Bean meal at $490.60, down $5.90. And the bean oil at $38.69, finished 56 cents lower. Live cattle futures on the afternoon finished the nearby August at $141.32½, $1.15 higher. August feeders at $199.82½, or $1.05 higher for the day. And lean hogs at $112.97½ on the afternoon, finished 42½ cents higher. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's check now some of the outside markets number. Crude oil at $102.59. That's down a nickel. RBOB gasoline at $2.95¢, up 0.2¢. And ethanol futures at $2.10½. Down a penny and 0.7. The spread between those two is 85¢ wide. That's 3¢ wider than yesterday. And natural gas today, up a nickel and 0.8 at $4.69¢. Diesel fuel at $2.88¢ per gallon is 3¢ higher. Gold futures at $1,253, up $9 for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 80.38 is down 0.28 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast says for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 78 degrees on the day. And then this evening, partly cloudy and a low of 56. East winds at about 7 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high near 80 degrees. East, southeast winds then. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 58. Saturday, sunny and 81. Saturday night, showers, some thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and a low of 63. 60% chance of rainfall on Saturday evening. A 40% chance that those showers will continue along with some thunderstorms into Sunday. Mostly cloudy and a high of 76 degrees, and then cloudy on Sunday evening. The showers will disappear and it'll have a 57 degree low. Monday, mostly sunny skies as we start the work week, and 75 degrees. And on Tuesday of next week, mostly sunny and 76. Wednesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms returns. Partly sunny and a high near 80 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's Thursday, June the 4th, 2014. On the phone line to take a look at the futures markets and how trade finished in Chicago at the CME Group is Dan Zwicker. Good morning, or rather good afternoon to you, Dan, there at Mandeville, Louisiana, and CGB Enterprises.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, okay, so we finished both the new and old crop corn below the 50-cent mark, or $4.50. Does that mean anything to you, or are we just waiting it out?
Well, I mean, anytime you hit or go below key benchmarks, and in corn's case, or I mean all commodities, we kind of talk in terms of, you know, even dollars or a dollar and a 50-cent type move. So when you did break underneath $4.50 here, we'll have to see whether or not we get two or three closes underneath there, or if the market would maybe recover here toward on tomorrow and kind of maybe close back above it or so. But anytime you do that, you begin to, you know, it kind of opens the door then for maybe a move all the way down to $4. Now, I don't really think that's in the cards anytime soon, but the market, the trade does seem to be kind of in a horse race to, you know, talk up how big could the crop be if ideal or favorable growing conditions would materialize through the growing season. Now, everybody, I think, is getting a little anxious. I mean, we just kind of got the crop planted, and I do know that the crop looks excellent in many areas of the Corn Belt, and there's no doubt there's good yield potential. But we got a lot of the growing season to go through. We've seen a lot of good crops deteriorate to nothing. It's still all about July, August weather, you know, at the end of the day. That's, you know, at least 80% of what the crop's going to materialize. So, but at least for now, that seems to be the direction the trade wants to talk up is big crops and increasing carryovers. They seem to be getting their way at this point.
All right. So for the most part, we have producers, if they have been following instructions from almost all corners, that meaning Darrell Good from you, advisory services from all the brokers are probably, oh, I don't know, somewhere between 15 and 25% sold on their new crop corn. I suspect everybody's going to say, well, just stay put now. You've got a big crop that appears to be in the field, and you've got crop insurance to cover the rest of it.
Well, crop insurance is definitely a key safety net. There is no doubt about that, but it's really not a substitute for marketing. I mean, we still have to market the crop, and we'll still have to be on alert for marketing opportunities. I guess the way I would look at it as of right now is one probably stays put. Looking at some cyclical work that I have used over the years, and then looking at some technical indicators, we have reached some levels here that the downward momentum should start slowing. Then once that slows, and all of a sudden these new shorts that are in the marketplace will want to take profits, and then we could maybe get a good short covering rally going. We live in an environment that we don't know what we're going to wake up to the next morning. So I do think that even though, you know, the market has dropped sharply here during May and the first few days here of June, especially corn, probably more so than soybeans, there ought to be an opportunity somewhere here along the growing season, better than probably what we're offered right now anyway.
Well, let's see. We are down, what, about 70 cents, right? Yeah, something along those lines from the highs back in April on December corn. Where's that low at? On that, it is down at, 435. So we've got another 15 cents to get there, or 12 or something like that. Is that kind of the place that we can see corn take a stand if it needs to?
Well, that is going to be the first spot spot everybody's going to be looking at. Anyway.
Oh, come on, Dan.
And it wouldn't take much to get there. I mean, we're really not that far away. I mean, looking at the close here today, my guess is something will come along. We'll have a rally before we test that first. That would be my guess. You know, there's still those $3.50 bears out there that they didn't get their way last year, so they're hoping and praying that they can get their way this year. Like I said, I mean, there's no doubt if we would happen to have one of these excellent growing seasons, Lord knows, you know, how big a crop we could produce, and with really no support prices underneath the market, it would definitely, you know, set up stages for some kind of V bottom of some kind anyway.
All right. Soybeans still kind of in the opposite sort of direction. We have rallied November beans since, what, January of this year. And we have fallen back off of the top, but it would be a pretty good drop back to where we were in January, down to, what, about $11 or $10.88, I think, is the low there. So
yeah, $10.88.
Yeah, so we got a long ways to go down.
Yeah, but with the new dollar limits, it could go pretty quick. just kidding. But, well, the soybean thing is still an interesting, I mean, we still don't have the crop planted. We still don't have the double crop beans planted. So there's still some uncertainty left yet, probably, on total acres of soybeans. Now, I'm one that believes, you know, I've been watching the new crop corn soybean ratio, and actually, you know, over the last, basically since mid-May, it has been moving in the direction to try to pull acres into soybeans. So, that probably scares me a little bit, because if it succeeded in doing that, then maybe it took some of those late acres up in those five northern states that were maybe intended for corn. Maybe they did switch them over to soybeans here over the last 10 days or so. I know a lot of guys had late corn last year, and it really didn't work out for them too well up there. So it was enticing, I think, to maybe move to beans. Then, you know, so I think overall, come June 30th, it wouldn't surprise me to see corn acres come in on the light side and probably bean acres come in on the heavy side. So I would, but we're not going to really change, I think, the fundamental picture of this market until we see the June 30th report. That'll tell us how many beans we got left, how many bushels of corn we have left. That'll give us the, you know, planted acreage numbers. USDA should be out in the field now surveying those. So it's going to be an interesting report. Other than that, if the weather pattern would switch as we go into the first day of summer, well, then that would take over a major focus if that would turn into something more adverse or away from the favorable to an adversity type pattern, and some portion of the Corn Belt might begin to take over focus.
We'll talk with you again tomorrow afternoon for Commodity Week.
Very well.
Hey, thanks so much. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Hey, you know, last season it cost Illinois farmers on highly productive soils like those right here in Champaign County $615 to raise an acre of corn. And that price doesn't even include the cost of land. In a moment, I'll have more on the break-even cash price for a bushel of corn a farmer would need to make money. The Illinois Farm Business Farm Management record-keeping system has finished compiling the results from the last growing season. The aggregated numbers have given University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnitke enough data to make some very educated estimates of how much it costs a farmer in the state to produce a bushel of corn. will concentrate on the highly productive soils.
FBFM recently summarized their cost for 2013, so we updated our actual results for 2013 and came up with the final number. For corn in central Illinois, high productivity land, the cost of producing corn in 2013 was $615 per acre, and that's non-land cost, so that's everything but land. That $615 per acre was $34 an acre higher than it was in 2012.
The increase is just part of a trend. The cost to produce corn has more than doubled since 2006. Back then, it cost $302 an acre, not including the land cost to produce corn. Again, last year, it cost $615 an acre. When asked if there's any reason for the cost of corn production to come back down, Gary Schnitke flatly says, no.
No, not very soon. 2014, if anything, we're projecting all cost to remain roughly the same except for fertilizer cost. So fertilizer costs could come down $30 to $40 an acre, which would put non-land costs still in the high $500 an acre range. So we're still looking at high cost.
Again, the projected cost to produce an acre of corn, $500 plus for this year and $615 actual for last year, does not include the land cost, things like mortgage payments, interest, or cash rent.
So if we take $615, last year's non-land cost, add to it $300 cash rent, which would be middle of the road, not exceptionally high. No. So that would give us $915 of cost per acre. If we get 200 bushels per acre, that puts our break even at $4.58.
That's $4.58 a bushel cash price just to break even on last year's corn crop. It's just about where the price of corn for last year and this coming year have averaged, and it's unlikely to change very much in the foreseeable future. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. And up next, backyard industry, Urbana Beastery. Lisa Braltz learns there are plenty of animals wandering around in the Urbana jungle.
Two brushes I've had with urban wildlife. One evening last summer, three animals I thought were my three cats walked casually past the table I was sitting at and waited further down the driveway for the fourth, who ambled past my leg under the table on its way to join the other raccoons. Another, during March garden cleanup, I noticed that every single dinosaur kale plant in my garden, the kale that can grow up to 3 feet tall, had been neatly chewed off to a height of about 2 feet. Never mind, none of it had actually survived the polar vortices. Something had eaten it. Further investigation indicated it had probably been a very lost, very confused, and very hungry deer. I, my friends and neighbors, and you probably have many tales of encountering those animals, plus opossums, chipmunks, mice, deer, wild turkeys, vultures, foxes, hawks, voles, bats, rabbits, squirrels, snakes, coyotes, and more in our neighborhoods here in central Illinois. After the kale incident, I thought more about these creatures living among us. They go mostly unnoticed unless they do something upsetting like feast on our gardens, threaten our chickens or other pets, or surprise us while we're pulling weeds. But they're here all the time. To get some perspective, I started reading The Urban Bestiary, a recent book by Seattle-based writer and naturalist Lyanda Lynn Haupt. Per her urging, I started paying more attention to the chatter of previously boring house sparrows and the tail swishing of my local squirrels as they went about their daily business. And it was fascinating. But I wanted more than squirrels and sparrows. I called my friend, local writer, photographer, and naturalist Rob Cantor, creator of the Environmental Almanac radio series and newspaper column, and asked to get together for some stalking of local fauna. We met at the 2nd Street Basin near downtown Champaign, where he spends a fair amount of time observing.
One of my things that I do, like, you know, when I'm out to kind of look for stuff like this, is just allow myself to be in that place for a little bit. So you could look from the bridge here and go, oh, there's nothing there. But there's the yellow throat, you know, that we just heard, and we only heard it because we walked along there instead of, you know, stopping at the bridge and then moving on somewhere else. That's part of why I enjoy photography, is to take pictures. You have to stop and be there for a little bit. And when you do that, then you notice things that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise.
We saw a few things. We missed others.
So that was a frog. Did you see? You heard something flop in there. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, if we hadn't, you know, taken a couple of extra steps to come down, we wouldn't have known there was an actual amphibian here this morning.
After a while, we moved across Springfield Avenue and stood on the bridge over the Boneyard Creek at Scott Park, just south of the basin. We saw a pair of barn swallows land on the creek bank to freshen up, which was cool because they rarely seem to land. Then things got more exciting.
There comes a muskrat right there. See?
We're going to get a picture. Swimming along, sleek head just visible above the water, was a muskrat. A muskrat! I had never seen a muskrat before. I knew nothing about them. It swam toward us upstream. It paused, then hung a left into a patch of very tasty-looking grass along the bank. In one graceful move, it grabbed a mouthful and turned around to swim, all business, back downstream.
We're following the muskrat, who looks really busy. He was booking, though. He was moving.
We could only surmise it had gone on the equivalent of a food run for its family, who were waiting patiently for Susie or Sam to return with the goods. And really, isn't that life? According to Haupt, while it may seem that the squirrels are deliberately messing with us when they strategically display half-eaten tomatoes on our front steps, or that raccoons will indeed cut you if you look at them funny, they mostly want to be left to the business of living. Coexistence means, in part, us noticing each other quietly and in context. Most critters are way ahead of us. They know much more about our daily habits than we do theirs because they sit and watch us. I wonder sometimes exactly what they're thinking when they do. For Backyard Industry, this is Lisa Braltz.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, is here now to look at the cash grain markets. Matt, tell me about the market in your areas. The price of corn and soybeans has dropped.
Yeah, definitely, and there's not a whole lot going on. I mean, we really haven't bought much here in the last few days. Had a lot of talk about people maybe wishing they'd have sold some a while back, but, you know, it's been interesting. A little bit different strategies maybe going to be put together from here forward, depending on where guys are at. So.
Well, they'll have to think differently as they look forward for the rest of the crop that they have to sell. You got any ideas?
Well, I think that, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't think we would have some sort of a weather rally at some point. We're so oversold right now that I don't have any problem with guys maybe stepping in and buying, you know, a few cheap calls here and there, and then hoping maybe to get a little bit of a better chance to maybe sell some cash. Now, I think moving forward, I'm not envisioning a huge acreage increase by any means in the corn market for the corn. So, you know, I'm probably a little more friendly to corn moving down the road than what I am beans.
Has demand slackened off with this price drop?
Not really. Basis has held pretty firm in here. In fact, we've, you know, improved our basis several times here in the last month. So, you know, as we have gone lower in here, basis has actually gotten a little bit better, as it does a lot of the time. You know, exports were still pretty good today. So, you know, maybe you would think that they would be even better with the way the prices have reacted lately, but I don't think that we're going to see a big drop-off in exports either.
And your bids for the day?
Okay, 440 on cash corn, 419 for fall, 1465 for cash beans, 1186 for fall.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast with Mike Tenorum. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
It's Feast Day of St. Boniface, patron saint of brewers. On this day in agricultural history in 1856, the first vegetarian community was established in Kansas by Henry Club, the leading advocate of vegetarianism in the U.S. Club wrote that his colony would preserve the principles of vegetarianism and would induce thousands of wavering citizens to, quote, adopt a system of diet so highly conducive to their happiness and well-being. The dream colony was named Octagon City. In 1876, foil-wrapped bananas were sold for a dime at the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Bananas became a popular treat for the first time in the U.S. when word spread about how delicious they were. In 1877, the U.S. Congress taxed oleomargarine to protect the dairy industry. The Margarine Act of 1886 was in response to a judicial ruling saying oleomargarine could not be banned from import or production. And in 1883, James and William Horlick developed the process to dehydrate milk, and they received a patent for it. They called the new powder malted milk. The original idea was to produce a milk product for babies and invalids that could be shipped without spoiling. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined now by Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Tell me about the weather that we've had over the past 24 to 48 hours. It's been heavy. It's been rough. How widespread was the rainfall?
We've seen some pretty good amounts across different parts of the Corn Belt and the Plains over the last 1 to 2 days. Over 5 inches was reported at Omaha, Nebraska, and in Lamoni, Iowa, which is around 100 miles to the southeast of Omaha. And overnight, we also had some real big rains in portions of central Kansas, including the heart of the U.S. hard red winter wheat belt. So we have had some pretty big rains, and there are more to come. We're in a very active pattern across a large part of the U.S. If you just look at what's happening right now, we can see that a number of storm systems are lined up to the west, and they're going to keep on moving to the east, not only for the next couple of days, but all the way through the next 10 to 14 days, the way it looks right now. In this type of weather pattern, though, it's very difficult to determine exactly where and when, and even how much rain will fall. Now, even though that might sound like you don't know what you're talking about, we actually think it's a pretty straightforward pattern, and that we'll see numerous waves of energy move on to the east, and each one of those will produce thunderstorm clusters. And then all we have to do is figure out exactly where each one will go, which is only really apparent maybe 1 to 2 days in advance in a good situation. Oftentimes, we might only know 12 hours in advance. But the southern half of the Corn Belt and the Plains are certainly under the highest risk for heavy rainfall in excess of 1 to 2 inches over the next 3 to 4 days. And then that heavy rain threat moves back to the north into the northern plains and the northern Corn Belt as we get into next week, beginning around Tuesday.
Any reason to believe this pattern will end anytime soon?
We don't think it will end in the next 1 to 2 weeks. After that, it's real hard to say. It's always hard to forecast the weather further out into the future, and this scenario is no different. The one thing we do know, though, is that all of the rain that we'll see over the next 1 to 2 weeks will either have been a great thing if it turns drier toward the end of the month, or it will have been the beginning of a wet to locally too wet of a pattern once we get into the latter portion of the month. So we think the weather forecasts will be a little more interesting in about 2 weeks from now, or maybe even 1 week from now, once we can start to see what that next pattern will be. Will this one continue, or will a new one form?
Well, the rainfall has been welcome across the Midwest and the Great Plains states, Mike. It seems like those trying to harvest wheat might be hopeful it would stop sooner rather than later.
That is the way it looks right now, especially across Oklahoma into northern Texas and also across parts of Kansas. I mean, no matter how you look at the winter wheat situation, you can't really argue that all of this rain coming up is a good thing, because all of the areas that don't need rain because they want to harvest are going to turn wet, and everybody else is already wet, so they don't really need the rain either. As you go north, remember, the winter wheat is not as mature, and because of that, harvest season is still well off into the future across the northern plains. So pretty much all of the winter wheat belt receives rain, and some areas receive rain that they don't need, and some areas receive rain that is just plain unhelpful for harvesting. But even after talking about all of this, it's still a mixed situation. We don't see things as being real poor or real good at the moment. We think that the impact of all this weather over the next couple of weeks will really be decided by weather that we can't see later in June and into the first part of July.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather from Chicago, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.